Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Eric.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Well, actually, let me temper that.
Yeah?
I want to be completely transparent with everybody out there who listens to our podcast. I'm almost pretty good because I've been dealing with a cough.
How is the cough doing?
Cough is doing great. Me, on the other hand, I'm doing almost pretty good. I just want to be clear with everybody. I would never want to break that sort of bond of trust that we have with the people who listen to our podcast week in and week out.
Yeah, well, that's why this week we asked you out there, listeners.
This is a really good transition.
I think so. To submit some questions that we could answer here during the intro of this very podcast. And I'm assuming that we got a couple?
We got a bunch.
All right. Oh, a bunch.
Yeah, again, I want to be completely transparent. We don't just have a couple of questions to answer. We're not going to get to all of them on here.
There's a lot of questions.
I will respond to them on Twitter.
But we're going to get to...
we can get to
a bunch of them.
Yeah.
Well, what's the first of the bunch?
All right. First question comes in from New Face.
Shout out to New Face. That's our guy down in Atlanta, Georgia.
Atlanta, Georgia. He is the hip hop collector.
Yes.
He collects all the hip hop merch. I don't know that he's bought a mug from us.
You know what? That would be the capstone to his collection.
Yeah. I don't know that. I'm not saying he has to.
You think a mean mug can go in T.I.'s trap museum?
Yes.
I think so, too.
Yeah. I think it can come right next to the pink house and the pink car.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Anyway, enough stalling.
What's his question?
His question is, what's an episode that ran longer than expected and one that was seemingly too short and you need a part two?
Okay, so these are two different questions.
Yeah, first one's easy. An episode that lasted longer than we expected, Mouse Jones. Jones is the two-part episode that we have.
Yeah.
And it's not like we set out to do a two-part episode. But when somebody has a three-hour story...
He has a very compelling life.
You know, and the first part ends with him trafficking guns or whatever.
What if we... Allegedly.
Allegedly. Oh my God, what did I say?
What if we were just like, yeah, that's good enough. Like, let's try this again another time.
Yeah. Leave it as a cliffhanger?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've done a lot of episodes, and I would say that there's a bunch that I wish were longer, or we would, you know, open the door to have them come back whenever they want. Action Bronson is one. Swiss Beats is another. Common is one. John Legend's another.
DJ Kaslay.
Oh, Kaslay can come back whenever he wants. I think there's a certain... When you feel an Marsha St. Hubert, when you feel like you are really, really in the zone with a person.
Mm-hmm. As opposed to pa-zone with the Pizza Hut.
Yeah, maybe I'm specifically talking about Swiss Beats.
Mm-hmm.
Zone, zone, zone.
Mm-hmm.
When you feel like you're in a zone with someone, you just want the conversation to go forever, and you feel like you're like landing, you know, acrobatic jumps or something like that.
Yeah.
Any of those guests are welcome back. Guapdad 4000, there's a chemistry there. Like, clearly, like, we could
I would say Yvette Noel Shore.
Great episode. We could talk forever with her.
I would say Michael Dappa.
That was a fun one. Hot. Yeah.
Jordan Klepper.
Great, great guest.
Yeah, there's a bunch.
There's a lot. You know, the door is really open to all of them, and we look forward to making those episodes happen.
Why? Okay, this comes in from JSmitty82.
Shout out to him.
Who says, why does Jeff think he can beat up Looch? Sheik Looch.
Jeff, why do you?
Well, because it's true.
Well, actually, we were walking home the other day from the ASAP Ferg listening at the Tiffany store mm-hmm. on Fifth Avenue. And
that's an extraneous detail, but yes, we were
shout
walking.
Out to Ferg, shout out to his whole team, shout out to his album called Floor Seats coming soon.
Mm-hmm.
We were walking home,
yeah,
from Tiffany's.
Yeah, here's the story.
Did I mention that?
Yeah,
we were in Tiffany's. It's
we didn't buy anything. They didn't give us anything. They let us in the store.
We stole things.
Yeah, we stole things.
We ran into Sheik on the Upper West Side. We were walking by, and Jeff just goes, "Oh shit!"
Yeah,
Sheik Looch, and Sheik turned around and said,
"I thought you were gonna jump me."
So. Why do you think that you can beat up Sheik Looch? Because you can.
Exactly. Believe in yourself.
The element of surprise.
Yeah. Actually, you want to know what? I could beat up Sheik if I had a running start. Also, I've been in the gym for the past 3 days.
That's the other reason.
Yeah. I'm like a really good gym guy now.
That's right.
That's what they call it. That's what we call ourselves. Really good gym guys. Question comes in from Ray Rodriguez.
Shout out to our guy Ray, Jacksonville, Florida.
Well, yeah, as opposed to the other Ray Rodriguez.
That's funny.
There are two Ray Rodriguezes.
And we shouted out, you know, just Ray Rodriguez, but two different Ray Rodriguezes took credit for it.
But so I don't want to take it away from the other Ray Rodriguez.
We're not going to say which one is which.
You just did.
All right.
Anyway, one of the Rays.
Yes.
said, why does James Dolan hate us?
Well, that's a great question.
I'm going to say because you deserve it. All right. The next question comes in from Goom.
Wait, I deserve it or the collective Knicks fans deserve it? Yeah, anybody who's a Knicks fan deserves it. Goom.
Where do you see It's the Real in 5 years?
TV, film, music, books. I guess everything we're doing now, but bigger. Okay. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
Great.
Next question comes in from C-Shack314, who says, how long does it take to come up with those aliases?
The AKAs.
The AKAs.
I mean, it depends, right? Sometimes it's just like real quick. Sometimes it is a struggle. Sometimes it ends up right before a guest comes over. And if anybody doesn't know, for the last 10 years, we've been doing these AKAs and we have never repeated an AKA.
Well, not on this podcast.
No, when we guest on someone else's podcast,
yeah,
or
we'll
when
reuse
someone
them.
Runs into us on the street and puts their phone up to get us on Instagram,
yeah,
then it's just like, I don't know, man. This is not my job right now.
Yeah, then, hey, I'm off the clock. AKA.
Yeah, when Sheik Looch is like, hey, do an AKA real quick, it's like, let me just grab one from the list.
Yeah, I always do the same three, though.
Which are,
yo, what up, it's Jeff, a.k.a. Shoot a Boy in Blue, a.k.a. Papa Smurf,
right?
Yo, what up, it's Jeff, a.k.a. Gimme Little Head, a.k.a.
Zika virus, yeah.
Yo, what up, it's Jeff, a.k.a. Player of the Year, a.k.a. Uchiwali Zerbiak.
Those are pretty great.
This is like a Funk Flex freestyle where it's like obviously pre-written and you chime in.
That's always so great because the guy who's rapping is there, but his friends are there too, and they all know the lyrics.
Yeah.
And it's just like, guys, we know.
Yeah, we know. Question comes in from Jaswinder Verdi in London, who says, does Lloyd Banks still hate you? I don't think so, but you never know because we did reach out to have him on the podcast and he didn't respond.
Happy 15th anniversary to The Hunger for More.
Yes. Iron Mike asks, will we ever get a Hype Man reunion on A Waste of Time?
No.
Silver Yems, this is a great question. Have you guys noticed any difference between hosting an episode in the new apartment versus the previous Upper West apartment?
Oh, man.
Has it changed how guests feel when they walk in? Definitely a change when they walk in.
Yeah, it's nice to show off the apartment now. You know, that we have a lot of dope photos and art on the wall. It's more conducive to hanging out. I think the other place maybe felt more...
But it is interesting. People think that this feels like a set.
Like, or a museum.
Yeah.
And I would say that it's not. It's where we live.
Yeah.
Everything is usable, and we hang the art for us, not necessarily to just look like an untouchable museum.
Yeah. Jake Roth, Bluto the Don, asks, at what point in your career did you feel as though the gatekeepers of hip-hop fully let you in, considering Identity and Lane in as hip-hop sketch comedians?
What do you think?
It's interesting. I feel like, you know, what is in, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, when we first started 12 years ago, we got invited to all the cool parties. All the label heads were hitting us up, asking us to go to the clubs with them.
Yeah.
You know, 5 years in, those invites all sort of like drifted away.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we're more in the conversation than we were. But like, you know, it's a fickle business. Like, people will turn on you. People will stop returning your emails. People will...
And by the way, that's not to say that people are not fans of ours in this business.
No, people want
us to
win.
And it's not to say that people don't like the work that we do.
Yeah, right. But I think that it's just like, it's not a simple question where it's just like, oh, you want to know what? It was 3 years in and then everybody loved us.
No, I agree. But I would also say that it's whatever your definition of in is.
Right.
Because if you see the definition as being like, oh, we're cool to the point that we can be invited to the club, then I guess maybe it was, you know, soon after we started.
Yeah, but nobody's ever extended their hands being like, oh, now is the chance for us to really, like, work together. So I don't really know.
It's not like we've, you know, made our television show. And it's not like
well, it's a different industry, though.
Got signs to a record label or something like that.
Right.
So I don't know what in is. I mean, I feel like we have a lot of respect. I feel like we're doing the best work and it is recognized now, but it doesn't feel like it's so easy that everyone says yes to us all the time. So who's to say?
Who is to say? This comes from Brian Hasty, who asks, thoughts on Sean Paul?
Love Sean Paul.
Love Sean Paul.
All right. We're in agreement.
Great.
Does that come up because of the Jake Gyllenhaal thing, you think? Like Jake Gyllenhaal came to Sean Paul's defense on some radio program or something like that.
He was like, every song is better with Sean Paul. I don't know if that's true.
Why not?
Every song is better?
Sure. I'll go with that. I'll take that stand. I'll die on that hill.
If Sean Paul gets on a song with Freddie Gibbs.
Instantly better.
Well, probably.
Probably better.
Yeah. Let me. If Sean Paul gets on a song with.
Jeff, if Sean Paul got.
I can't think of an artist that he wouldn't make better,
actually. If Sean Paul got on the Baby Shark song.
Yeah,
and
better.
It was Baby Sean.
Wow.
Better.
Better.
Ask another question. Now I'm in the mood. Let's go.
Well, wait. Now I can't think. I honestly was trying to think of an artist that Sean Paul would not sound good with.
It's better. Sean Paul makes things better.
We've been trying to get Sean Paul on the podcast.
He would make this podcast better.
100%.
Couple more questions. Let's go.
All right. The Ellis Ellis?
Okay.
I think it's how you pronounce this. I don't know. The Ellis Ellis says, worst questions to ask when interviewing?
Yes or no questions.
Hey, what's your problem?
That would be a bad one. Yeah.
Yeah. George West, the real DJ Dirty G.
Yes.
As opposed to just DJ Dirty G. Yeah. Says, what equipment and software do you guys use for the podcast?
We have,
I know this because I obviously.
Yes, Jeff, tell them.
GarageBand?
We use GarageBand. It's right. A very simple process. We have a mixer. We have.
Don't say we. You.
No. We own the mixer.
Yeah.
We own.
But you use GarageBand.
I do use GarageBand. And we use Shure SM7B microphones, which are like the industry standard. Mm-hmm. And we go into GarageBand. Real simple.
I love shopping. Says, who's the more important rapper in terms of history, Meek or Wale?
Wow.
In terms of history?
That's a...
Well, probably Meek.
I would say Meek as well.
Only yeah. because...
That's no shots at Wale.
Absolutely none. We love Wale.
Wale makes great music. Wale has made great music and...
But
and
I think as a cultural thing...
Yeah, absolutely.
Who goes down, you know, Meek, because Meek had... The conversations of both the Drake thing and also him going to jail and coming out. And also, when I say going to jail, unfairly going to jail.
Yeah, that's right. And he has, I think, probably a bigger song
than
intro. Wale has ever put out.
Yeah.
It's just sort of inarguable.
Yeah. A bunch of people asked... when we were going to be going on tour, when we were going to be coming to their towns, when we were going to go to Europe, going to doing New York live shows. When are we going to be doing live shows?
The short answer is soonish. We want to go back on the road. We want to perform in new and different and exciting ways. We don't want to do exactly what the Joe Budden podcast does. We don't want to do exactly what Bodega Boys do. We want to do something different. When Highline Ballroom came to us and said, hey, we want you guys to do a live podcast, they had one idea. We gave them a totally different idea, and that was the Rockefeller Show. When we went to London, when we went to LA, different cities, we did it differently. So we're trying to get all of our ducks in a row and provide something that is uniquely us and would be of great value to all of you out there.
Let's just do two quick last questions.
Okay.
Jonathan Davila says, can I get a drop?
Shout out to Jonathan Davila.
There you go.
Wait, hold on. Okay, ready?
Yeah, because we got to do better for our guy, our man's Jonathan Davila.
Yo, what up? It's Eric.
And Jeff.
And it's The Real. And when we're in Tulsa, Oklahoma, we flip the switch to
SoundCloud.com/ Jonathan Davila.
You know that when we come to the 45th most populous city in the United States,
Tulsa, Oklahoma,
we are tuning in to Jonathan Davila.
We're talking about the Blue Whale of Catoosa. We're talking about the Philbrook Museum of Art. No, we're not. We're talking about Jonathan Davila.
We're talking about the oil capital of the world, the home to Oral Roberts University and the University of Tulsa, the home to Jonathan Davila.
There was a tornado on August 6, 2017 in Tulsa, Oklahoma. What do you think it was? It was Jonathan Davila spinning those records on SoundCloud.com/ Jonathan Davila.
When we're in between Arkansas River and the Osage Hills and the foothills of the Ozark Mountains in Northeast Oklahoma, there's one person that we're listening to, Jonathan Davila.
We would never go to Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. We would never go to Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. We would only go to the guy who puts the OK in Oklahoma. That is Jonathan Davila.
All right, Jeff, today on the podcast.
On the podcast today is our guy from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
No, that's not the case.
Our girl from Tulsa, Oklahoma. No,
it's our girl from Kingston, Jamaica.
Shana Paul.
Shensia.
Close enough. Shensia has come up from the parishes of Kingston, Jamaica. Now she has 1.6 million followers on Instagram.
That's pretty good.
She is putting out one of our favorite songs of the summer with Tyga. It's Blessed. Called Blessed.
Blessed.
And it is heating up the clubs and the bashments.
It is rocketing up the charts. Shout out to everyone over at Interscope Records. Really interesting story. She grew up in the church. She was in different singing groups. You know, how do you make it out of Jamaica and stay close to the streets and cross over into the pop lane? We get into all of that. Meeting Jay-Z, linking up with Vybz Kartel, signing to Interscope Records. She is
the
really,
full package.
She's really awesome.
Yeah.
Jeff, when do you want to get into this?
Right now.
Yo, what up? It's Eric, a.k.a. Violet Beauregard, a.k.a. Girls Dem Sugar.
Yo, what up? It's Jeff, a.k.a. Jamaican Starbucks, a.k.a. T.O.K.
Hey, you
don't
know Shensia, a.k.a. Shen Ying Boss.
Yes, your third favorite podcast, Waste Time With It For Real. Shensia, what's happening?
I'm here.
Yeah?
Enjoying your normal weather.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I'm not enjoying normal weather. I would have much rather done this anywhere else.
Oh, like, my, you know? God. Oh, my God.
But I was saying, like, at this point, it's just like I'm used to shitty weather outside. It's cloudy. It's overcast. It's rainy. Mm-hmm. It's cold. Nothing good there.
No.
But y'all need to come to Jamaica then.
We do. Right. Is this a formal invite?
Yeah.
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah. Anytime.
No, because people do say that. They're just like, you should totally come down to this city or that city. Yeah. And we're just like, sure. And then we'll call them. And then it's like, no.
Oh, my God. Have you ever been?
No.
No.
No?
Does it look like we've been?
I know, yeah. We're very like, fair weather people, yeah. We burn easily. Is that are there things to do indoors?
Of course, we have a lot of things to do indoors, but I feel like outside is best, you know?
Yeah.
The rivers, the beaches, mm-hmm. sunsets, everything.
You have umbrellas that we could like hide under?
Yes.
Okay, good,
yes.
Okay.
I see that your braces are off.
Mm-hmm.
Are you so excited?
I am.
Yeah.
I am. At first, you know, I really enjoyed them, but then it started paining me and cutting up the inner parts of my mouth. But when they were off, because I naturally had nice teeth, you know, I just didn't have alignment on the bottom. So I was forced to do the top as well for an overbite.
Yeah.
So when they came off, I did my thing. I was like, yes, here we are.
How long did you have them for?
1 year.
It's a long year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had them.
And it's hard to brush your teeth.
Yeah. Especially when we're trying to steal a snack, you know, you just always get caught.
Yeah.
There's all the food stucking up in your teeth that you can't just do like and get it out. You gotta like pick it and all of that. So it's crazy.
Yeah, welcome to like my 13-year-old life.
Yeah.
Where it was just like me like getting my bar mitzvah looking like fucking metal mouth.
So you're originally from Jamaica.
I am.
Where?
Well, we have 14 parishes.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm from one called Saint Elizabeth. Mm-hmm. But I moved down to the capital, which is Kingston.
Mm-hmm.
So I grew up there from about 3 years old onwards.
So that's really all you know?
Yeah. But I used to go back to country for like summers and stuff to chill with my grandma. So we used to like go pimento walk and farming and all of that. So it was really crazy. So I do remember the country life, but I grew up in Kingston.
Is it a big difference between country life and the city?
Well, I would say it's more harder, less opportunities too. Because, you know, it's far out. And to even get something, we have to walk far and then take a taxi or something, go into town to get, like, food and whatever. But when you're in Kingston, everything is nearer.
Yeah.
So even though, like, it's not, like, a huge country. Because, like, if you think about, like, the size of Jamaica. Yeah,
it's from one point to another, it's, like, about probably 3 hours drive.
Wow.
That's it.
Four max, yeah.
Do you come from a big family?
I wouldn't say, probably no, because everybody's like having babies right about now. But I wouldn't say it's a really big family, no.
Like older brothers?
I have one older brother.
And then any younger siblings?
No, I wish.
Oh, okay. So just the two of you?
Just the two of us.
And what was growing up in the country like for you?
Well, I mean, it was refreshing to me because right now it made me a tomboy. I like the smell, the running up and down, the climbing trees, the adventure. That's what I really love about that part of my personality,
mm-hmm.
which the country life gave me and my family, because all of us are originally from St. Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, that's practically about it. So everything else, I just added from Kingston.
Your Wikipedia says that you are from St. Mary.
I don't know who did that.
It wasn't me. I got banned from Wikipedia.
Oh my God.
I kept changing Michelle Kwan, the figure skater. Mm-hmm. I kept changing her bio to Michelle Rachomi Kwan.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And so just not allowed on there. Yeah. But if you were, you would be able to change it at this point. But no.
So where is St. Mary in relation to everywhere else? That's like on the northeast.
St. Mary is like, what would I say? So probably east? Yeah, about that. And St. Elizabeth is like the other direction, far, far out. So it's kind of far.
Is there a big difference between St. Mary and St. Elizabeth?
No, because as I said before, it's just 14 parishes. So people from different parishes. We're all Jamaicans, yes.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I mean, it's just a different origin.
Yeah.
Practically.
Yeah.
That's about it.
When you move to Kingston, do you have any preconceptions of what a big city is like?
No, well, actually, I was really young, so I just went to school back and forth, my community, just playing up and down. But then at about high school, I started moving around a lot, like from one point in Kingston to another. I didn't really have a set home, to be honest, so I had to be moving up and down all about the place. But I mean, as the older I get, I think it really molded me, because that in itself actually inspired me to go hard, to get what I want, to make sure that, you know, once I reach a certain stage in life, then I make sure it starts a home first and all that. So I think it really instilled a lot of, what should I say? I'm looking for the word. It's there, you know, but I can't find it. Good things in me for now.
Yeah.
I can
just
say that right now.
What did
it made me mature. At an early age, yes.
Do you feel like you missed out on childhood things because you matured at a young age?
No, I wouldn't say that, because as I said, at about when I was in primary school, I had a lot of fun growing up in my community, because it was just like one small community and we can go around there at our friend's house and go around there and everybody just group up on the road, play cricket, play football, ride bicycles.
Yep.
So I wouldn't say I missed anything. It was really, really fun.
So how does music come into your life?
Well, I've been singing from, I knew how to sing. I discovered how to sing at about probably 7 or 8 years old. And I sang in church. And I was so shy, I just ran out immediately. I didn't even know what the feedback was like. I didn't even stay to hear. But ever since that age, I've just been singing every single day. I cannot pin a day that I haven't sung a song.
And you were singing in a group? Because, you know, it's a big, like, everybody's on stage.
That was later on.
Oh, really?
Later on, yeah, in high school, because I started going to church more often, Seventh-day Adventist.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would form a choir. I was in a choir at one point. And I was like, I can't hear myself. Why am I feel like I'm drowning? So I started another group with my cousins, and they're all males. So it was about 4 or 5 of us.
What was the name?
I don't remember. Each of us had our own note, though. So I would sing alto, he would sing soprano. So I was like, yes, this is it.
Were you still singing church songs?
Yeah, I was still singing church songs.
So you had like a rival church choir?
Yeah.
Where would you perform?
In church, because we would have crusades or we would have music days. Sometimes I would perform too at school,
mm-hmm.
when they did some little get together in the auditorium and stuff, but I was shy there too. So I would say at about in college, I started breathing up.
You established this group. You're singing church songs.
Church songs in church.
Did you think that that was going to be your future?
I wouldn't say singing church, mm-hmm. practically, but I would say to be an artist. I just felt like this road was definitely just for me. And even this morning while I was praying, I was like, it's so crazy and amazing that this is the only thing that I've always wanted and God is just here letting it happen, flowing.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is blessed.
So do you think it was destiny, or do you think that it was a product of your work, or both?
I think it's both. But destiny, more of destiny, because my family was really trying to push me to a different direction.
Which was?
Pushing me in tourism. You know, to do flight attending and tour management. And then I was like, no, I don't want to do that. I'm fine. You know, you guys don't want me to be an artist. I'll go be a police.
Why do you think they wanted to push you in that direction?
Because I remember asking some of my family members and they were like, you know, we know a lot of artists that don't reach anywhere. We don't want you to be one of those people.
They wanted security.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Something that, you know, I could study for and I would definitely know that I'm going to get a job here. But really and truly, I still didn't see it as that. I just felt like this road was for me. And so they put me in tourism. And I went to major in entertainment management. But at the same time, it wasn't to be an artist. It was to be an artist manager. I was like, no, this is not what I wanted. And then I fell out of college. I got a job.
You failed out of college?
Yes.
Why?
Financial issues.
Oh, gotcha. Oh, so it wasn't gotcha. Like, what was your worst subject?
Math.
Yeah. But you never liked math.
No.
Yeah.
Is that according to Wikipedia or?
Yeah. Well, it's according to my research.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't even remember saying that. Yeah. But math is my worst subject. And then when I fell out, I got a job. And then I started doing some covers on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And it just blew up. I was like, wow, I don't even have to work for anybody anymore. This is it.
Well, wait, so even before that, though, what was your relationship like with the tourism industry? When you see, like, these big boats come up, mm-hmm. and you're just like, oh, you know, because, like, I hate Times Square.
Yo,
you know, like, when you see, like, a million tourists just, like, in one place, yeah. and they're just, like, they jam everything up. Like, mm-hmm. they're not, like, looking for anything. They're just standing there. I feel like that's got to be the same thing when it's, like, these big boats from Carnival Cruises, who is not a sponsor of this podcast. When they come in, it's just, like, you know, it's good for the country, but it's, yeah, like, it's bad for whatever that area is.
Well, I wouldn't say it's bad, because I think Jamaicans are practically used to it, to be honest, because our country is considered as a tourist country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people naturally just come to enjoy themselves and relax, so we are pretty used to it, pretty much. And majority of them doesn't really come to Kingston. They go to the West End. That's mm-hmm. like the 3-hour drive I was telling you about. So it's way over the other island.
When you're getting into music and you're performing out there and you're still a shy girl,
mm-hmm.
how do you see it manifest itself on stage?
Oh my God.
Or is there a different personality that comes out on stage?
No, I wasn't normally like this. I was really, really shy. I didn't even interact with people on stage. I was like...
Not hey, even your cousins?
Nobody. I wouldn't even make eye contact with anybody. I was shaking. I always wanted to go to the toilet before I went on stage. It was crazy. But I've been performing a lot over the years. So I think it really gave me a lot of experience. And now it's like, we're ready. We're ready to have fun right now. So now when I'm on the stage, it's just like vibing with my shengings, having a lot of fun, talking, making them laugh and all that. Because I'm a really jovial person. But I would say I'm just enjoying myself right now when I'm on the stage. Sometimes I even supposed to do like 10 minutes or something and I'm going like 35.
Oh my God.
So I hope, how much fun we're having.
Yeah, I hope you get paid for the extra 25 minutes that you're doing.
Yeah, I get paid with a lot of support
math,
and love.
But yeah.
Because my shengings, they really appreciate it. You get me?
Yeah.
So it's more than money.
So when you're singing those like traditional church songs,
mm-hmm.
does your family like mess with that? Are they like, okay, cool. Maybe entertainment's not it, but at least she's mm-hmm. spreading like the good word.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I mean, a lot of them will say, whoa, separate and apart from them hearing me singing in church, the kind of song that I sing right now.
Yes. Oh yeah. Like, not church material.
Yes. No.
Yeah.
They're like, what have we done? I'm like, it's not your fault or anything. I mean, this is just me. You get me? And I'm not just making music for myself. I have to make music for everybody. Because before I came on this scene, I was telling everybody that I want to be an everybody's artist. They can put me on any platform and I can perform.
Mm-hmm.
PG-13, PG-21.
Yeah.
Anything, you get me? So that's what I strive to be. So I will do gospel songs because I know a couple from church days. I will do Bob Marley songs, which is like reggae and just a cover for older audiences, and then my songs for like the young and the hip.
Yeah. What were you listening to growing up?
A lot of Michael Jackson, Beyonce, and Chris Brown and Rihanna.
Okay.
Strictly.
Yeah.
I didn't really listen to dancehall growing up because my family is a Christian family.
Yeah.
Right. So we were like, oh, we can't hear that. So we're not going to play that. Just strictly like Celine Dion's and BT straight. Yeah.
So how does the music get to you then, if not through, you know, your household?
Dancehall, I learned that in high school because I started to take bus on my own.
Mm.
I started to take transportation to school on my own. So when I would be in the like mini buses and stuff going to school, they would play some really loud, not PG-13 songs. So you get me? So I started to learn from then, and then I started to sing along.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, whoa, how do I sound like this? I actually sound like one of them. And then I noticed that I could actually DJ as well, not only sing.
So did you start DJing?
Just Vibes Cartel songs, Spice songs, Lady Saw. I was like, whoa.
Did you know to keep it sort of away from your house then?
Did you have to sneak CDs
or?
Nah, because we grew up in an age where it's not about like CDs or anything like that. It's strictly YouTube.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they couldn't block me from the internet or even the buses from going to school. Otherwise, how would I reach the school? I mean, we didn't grow up rich. So it's not like they could charter me a cab or a taxi to bring me to and from school every day. So I had to be out in the public. And that's where we normally get exposed to certain things.
And so you're also going to parties and stuff?
Well, I didn't go to party in my high school years because my family was really strict, as mm-hmm. I said before, and they were like, no partying. They were overprotective. So we made a deal that if I passed a certain amount of CXC subjects, then I could do whatever I want. So I studied really hard, passed my subjects, and about when I just came out of high school, that about in 2013, I started partying really, really hard.
To make up for lost time?
Yeah, dove in the deep end.
And then I was like, oh my God, I'm tired now. I'm hearing the same songs. I'm doing the same wine move.
Yep.
I'm busting the same block for the same songs. Like, this don't make no sense. So I stopped partying and I started to work at the events, doing promotions.
Really?
Yeah, no, I'm performing at the events.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It is crazy. Yeah. I'm telling you, it's a journey, but it has really been a fun one. And I think everything that I've been through really prepared me for now.
What was your brother doing when he graduated from high school?
My brother left us from about, I was probably 5. So I didn't grow up with him. I just met him again the other day.
What?
Yes. What month are we in? May?
Yeah.
Yeah, I met him in November, December, and December again. For the second time.
Wait, so he left because?
His father migrated to Detroit.
Oh.
So he went with him too.
So he was dealing with the cold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's always been the one with
the cold. So you didn't see each other for all this time?
Nah.
And how did you reconnect? Were you Facebook friends?
No, number by contact through family. Because I always had his number, like, growing up.
Yeah.
I started, you know, WhatsApping and stuff. But it didn't still feel like a brother and sister love as how it should be because we weren't grown together.
Yeah, he was like a pen pal.
Yeah. So it's like, oh, that dude is far, far away.
So you really grew up like an only child?
Yes.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Was he surprised at the path that you'd taken?
No, because he knew about it before. It was just, I feel like it was an awkward kind of moment. Because, you know, as I said before, we don't know each other like that to see each other and everything. It was just like, hey, you're my brother, my long lost brother.
Yeah.
He knew about it still because, you know, as I said, social media and technology is running the world right now. So he would still be up on my Instagram.
Are your parents on Instagram?
No, my mom is not on Instagram. Even when I put my mom out with it, she was like, why you do that? How you have 300,000 people saw me? Oh, my God. I'm like, oh, God. Yeah, she doesn't like the really upfront thing.
Our mom's not on social media either. And we had her on as the 250th guest of our podcast.
Yeah.
And she would call us and ask us for updates on all the comments that she was getting on our Instagram.
That's crazy. Yeah, she's interesting.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have different types of people. People who can deal with that and people who just don't care.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, no. It turned out that our mom did care.
Oh, she cares.
Yeah. Oh, she cared.
She loves seeing that Bun B, you know, wants to know if she shouted him out.
So yeah. It's crazy.
And so your mom was working in other people's homes.
Yes.
And so when you were...
You really did your research, huh?
Listen.
I think you should be my brother. You know everything.
But I mean, like, so your mom wasn't really, like, home. So, like, you were taking care of the house?
Sometimes, at about probably 15 or so, I would stay alone,
mm-hmm.
like by myself, because my auntie was the one who really raised me. But, you know, those teenage years, they kind of get frisky and rude and attitude and all of that. So I was forced to stay by myself for a bit.
Whoa.
You know, but I really enjoyed it because the fact that it really made me so mature. How to do money management and all of that right now, I think it's really, really important. And I'm just happy that I went through that because knowing that I did all of that, being the fact that where I am now, I probably wouldn't have my priorities straight.
Yeah.
You get me? So I really enjoyed it, to be honest.
Did Jamaica back then seem like a small island and does it now seem like a small island?
No, even right now, it still seems big to me. I don't know why. Probably it's the people... Probably it's the locations of places that we like to go or something. It still feels big to me. But compared to other countries, it's really, really tiny.
Yeah. So when you're starting your music career then, like as an actual job, were you like, I have to take over my country first?
Yes. And that's why we started with reggae and dancehall.
What was the first thing that you did?
I wanted to major in singing, like some Ariana Grande singing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. But that wouldn't really work in Jamaica, coming out as a new artist.
Right.
So we did a couple of those songs, and we did strictly reggae songs like the Etanas and the Steven type of... What's her name again? Oh, man. And she sing, It's a Pity. Tanya Stevens, yes. So we did a lot of Tanya Stevens vibe and all of that too. But when we were asking around like for advice like from our producers and other artists, they were like, mm-mm, this is too nice. We need to dirty it up a bit, to raunch it up a bit, because that's what really get Jamaicans out there quicker. Yeah. That's what goes viral quickest, mm-hmm. all around the world, to be honest.
Yeah.
So that's what we started off with, dancehall.
Church, right. Yeah.
No, strictly dancehall, like streets dancehall.
Yeah.
That's what we did first, and it started spreading, and then we're here now.
So what's the first thing that really hit?
Dancehall.
Yeah, but Ludi. Like... Okay, gotcha.
Ludi.
Yeah.
Ludi was my third release.
Wow.
I literally didn't think it was going to go be that big.
Were you like refreshing the page to watch like all the views coming in?
No, at the time, it was just the audio. But being the fact that I was a bit Facebook famous, mm-hmm. so I started to promote it there, and my friends started circulating it and that. But it was until the video went like a million a week.
And people went for bananas. Jamaicans.
Yes.
Why were you famous on Facebook?
For my covers and my pretty looks.
Okay.
I can say that, to be honest. But yeah, it was just for image wise. And then I started to do covers. Well, that's when my views started to went bad.
Were you shy in front of a camera?
No. Because I always wanted to do acting. I did a lot of that in church as well.
Acting in church?
Yeah.
Like we acting like you're paying attention. Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
We're Jewish. We don't know anything.
Yeah, I don't know.
So like, what were you acting? Were you like Mary and
the
like...
prodigal son and all of those kind of Bible stories? Mm-hmm. That's what we did. So I will never forget them. But even right now, I'm still interested in acting. I'm going to do it one day too. Mm-hmm. So it's just time.
Yeah. So you're in church and you're acting and you're singing.
I'm singing.
And all of a sudden you make this switch to put out a song that is
not churchy.
The opposite. Yeah. Did you hear any type of reaction from family when that happened?
I know my grandmother, for one, did not like it.
How did grandma find out about this?
Through my auntie.
Oh, here we go. Yeah.
Yeah.
The one who took care of you?
Yes. Oh. She was like, Mommy, look at this. Listen to her. You get me? So it was just crazy. My grandmother was definitely.
And how about like amongst friends who knew you as like that shy girl from church?
I actually was the one that really laughed at them, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because in the year that I broke out, the year before, I told them that, listen, next year I'm going to be on that stage collecting that award and I'm going to bust really, really big. And they were like, psh, girl, stop playing. So when it really happened, I was like, what? So yeah, I actually spoke everything into being, no lie.
That's the crazy.
The best.
Yeah.
Hey guys, it's Jeff here from the podcast. Eric, give me a word.
School.
All right, school. School's cool. School's not for fools. School's cool. And you know what?
What? Are you freestyling?
Yeah. Wait. Give me another word.
You didn't finish the first one.
Fine. Give me another word.
Better.
All right. School's cool, but you know what's better? It's the real. And we got a newsletter. That's a freestyle. Just off the dome. And by the way, you can sign up for our newsletter at itsthereal.com.
Oh, my God. Dope.
Dope. There's no hope.
Itsthereal.com is where you can get the newsletter. Where can you get the freestyles?
You can get the freestyles on all streaming services.
And now back to Shensia.
Shensia. If you ain't signed up, then I don't want to be ya. Because Jamaica is small, but it's large, but it's small,
yeah.
But
three and a half
large,
hours. Yeah,
but it's small. Yeah. But does it feel like you're not that disconnected from people who have made it?
No, I don't think so. Because even right now, Jamaica is still my favorite place to be. Like, when I'm off tour and I say I want to take a vacation, it's at home.
Well, I mean, like, that you could be just, like, six people away or even, like, three people away from, like, a Beanie Man or, like, a Capleton or, like, whoever else. Yeah. Like, does it feel like when you're in America, it's just like you can feel like you don't know anybody in the industry. You don't know anybody who's made it. Nobody's but come from here. You know what I'm saying?
That is true, to be honest. So right now I'm just looking to grow in this industry and bringing the roots with me. You understand? And just switching it up.
Who were you looking up to at that time?
Well, Vybz Kartel for lyrics. Wise,
yeah.
It's strictly lyrical. And Spice for performance.
Mm-hmm.
And she was the only dominant female at the time. Still is right now, separate apart from myself.
Yeah. So when you first start to bubble up, do a lot of producers come sort of, you know, to find you? Do a lot of like promoters come to find you?
Yeah.
When you become like the hot thing on the island.
Russian came to find me. What? Yeah. I mean, we got a lot of requests, a lot of people that I always like look up to. Coming to me like, you want to do a song? I'm like, no way. Because even Russian, I was like listening just to his beats alone.
Yeah.
Just listening and trying to do something on the beat alone. Like, I was trying to own the beat like, it's my rhythm.
Yeah.
You get me?
Yeah.
But it was just like...
How'd you know who to trust, by the way?
To be honest, I'm not really a person that trusts easily.
Mm-hmm.
I just work. I don't let anything get in front of my work. So whatever personal issues we may have, that's not going to get into my money or my, you know, what I'm trying to do with myself and my career. So I don't really focus on trust, to be honest. I just focus on good music, on hard work.
So if someone came to you at that time and they were just like, yo, I have some hot shit that you need to like sing on.
Mm-hmm.
You were just like, let's try it?
Yeah, I would try it. I mean, I just coming on the scene, so I have to try and get myself out there.
Yeah.
Regardless, we wouldn't know even certain songs that hit right now. I didn't expect them to hit, to be honest. I was like, oh, I'm just going to do this song.
Well, so, okay.
So if Jesus says get on a song, you say absolutely.
I'm going to pray on it and say, Lord, this is my time. Still sing it.
So your third song blew up, right? Yep. Is that weird because then you expect the next one to be like either as good or even better?
That was a learning experience because, as I said, it was still kind of unreal that a lot of people knew me. Like more than just Facebook people.
Yeah. Like walk down the street, people point.
Exactly. Yeah. So I still didn't see it as famous. I was just like, oh, I got a song. You heard my song? That was practically just it. But growing, I noticed that even right now, after I drop a song and it really hits, I have to make sure that whatever is coming up is either harder, just as hard, but more likely harder
than
what I put out before. But at the time, we were just doing music, so we just released something normal after that, and that kind of a bit slowed it down. But the fact that I was still working and doing more music, releasing more, it kept me current.
Do you then watch YouTube and make sure that your shit is like still moving on there, or do you go to parties and like, you know, walk in and they play your music, or are you like hearing it on the radio when cars drive by?
Triple.
Yeah.
That's everything is included.
Yeah.
I watch my YouTube views. I promote on my social media.
Mm-hmm.
I have my team that goes in the streets, my team that listens on the radio. When I'm driving, my sound is on the radio.
Yeah.
So when I hear my songs, I'm like, yes, we're still banging.
What was the first time you heard yourself on the radio like?
It was crazy. I got 7 pull-ups for my first airplay.
Wow.
I was in the salon.
Who was the
DJ? Like, everybody, this is my song. ZJ Chrome.
Oh, shout out to them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
wait, do the people in the hair salon care?
I don't even remember. probably hating. But I was still there, you know, because I'm like, yo, this is my song.
Yeah. Was there a pressure for you in terms of like your writing to...
Yes.
Yeah?
Time-wise.
Why?
Because when you're new, you have a limited amount of time to do a lot of stuff. And you can't let it fall back because you don't want to be like, oh, there's the future and here I am. You want to catch up with the future. You want to make sure everything is... great for even next year.
Yeah.
So I was still working, and sometimes I will have projects that needs to be finished by the end of the week, and I'll be like up in the nights, like 3 a.m. just trying to finish, get it done. So time-wise, that was the biggest challenge for me back then.
Who has been the biggest sort of supporter for you throughout this whole process?
I would say my manager, because he gets all the good and the bad. Because when I'm miserable, he's the one that collects it all. When I'm nice, when I'm good, he's the one. And he's been there from before all of this started.
Yeah, because so you were working for him.
Exactly.
And you were doing promo, but I don't know what you mean by promo. Like, what is...
Like, bottle service, girls walking up and
sparklers,
down.
Sparklers, all that.
Yep.
Were you doing shots?
No. I'm not really a drinker. Mm. If I probably take one shot, I'd be like, psh, dead. I can't manage alcohol at all. Nah.
With your music, you know, getting more popular on the island, mm-hmm. what's the first idea that you have that maybe you're more successful even beyond the shores of Jamaica?
International. I would say right now we have a single, to mm-hmm. be honest. Blessed. Yes, blessed is the one.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You're funny. This is the one that's going to make us go beyond Caribbean. Yeah.
Is there a difficult sort of line to balance where you're like, I want to stay true to my roots, yeah, but also I want to do something that's right wide,
now.
Right?
True. That's what I'm really fighting right now, because to be honest, when you stay true to the roots, you also have a lot of street credits in Jamaica.
Yeah.
You get me?
Yeah.
So, you know, you will have an Ariana Grande song, I'm tearing up the place worldwide.
Yeah.
But you're not really going to hear Ariana Grande song in the streets.
Right.
No.
You get me?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm trying to find a balance between right now, the streets and stay current internationally as well.
Who do you think has like done that balance right?
I mean, coming from Jamaica, I would say probably Vybz Kartel. Yeah. And I see Spice is trying to get it done right now too.
Mm-hmm.
You get me?
Yeah.
No matter what age or how long you've been in music, I see a lot of people trying to get that done right now.
So what is your test for like something new? Like who do you play it for to make sure that like, people, not only that you're right.
Mm-hmm. People who listen music for just sound's sake, not someone who would listen music like, oh my God, this is really hard. What did she just say? Did she really just say that? How did she come up with this? People who are just like, oh, this sounds good.
Yeah.
Those kind of people.
And do you like, does that include your friends, your family?
My friends and my family.
Yeah.
My son.
Who is?
He's three and he's singing best. I'm like, what? Yes, this is going to hit. Because it's catchy too.
How much time did you put into Blessed?
I would say, how long would you say?
It was an interesting.
Yeah, I felt like a rookie, to be honest, singing Blessed, because they wanted a different sound.
Who is they?
Russian.
Okay.
Russian. Yeah, he wanted a different sound, not something that I'd normally produce when in Jamaica. So something that could go across but still have a little root, something that even people who speak strictly English can understand, mm-hmm. not just broken English.
Right. Yeah. So you're looking directly at me.
I know, yeah.
You're like, people who speak English.
Yeah.
This fucking guy.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Because I know sometimes I'm somewhere in the world and people are like, what did you say? You get me? But so, Blessed, we really spent a lot of time on it. Not like months or anything like that, though.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a long day.
Yeah, it was
long
just
day.
One long day?
Yeah.
Damn.
No, because she usually records a song
Yeah.
Damn.
I'm a natural.
Thing. Yeah. You mentioned maturing early.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure some of that comes along with being a parent.
Yes, it does.
You're new to the business.
Mm-hmm.
You are a parent.
Yes.
How is that balance?
Well, right now I'm touring. So what I normally do is I make sure to video call my son every single day. Like, if a day passes and I don't get to see him, I'm so mad. So I make sure that my caretakers and everybody who is, you know, looking after him, they make sure that they get us together by the end of the day. Because trust me, that's the only thing that really gets me down after a good day.
Yeah.
If I'm not talking to my son. So that's what I use to kind of balance it. Because I can't be there all the time. You get me?
Sure. Yeah.
But technology really has a way right now. So I use it.
What is he into right now?
What do you mean?
Like, I mean, like, playing, is he like into like Peppa Pig or like, you know, like what?
He's in
running.
A,
I don't know.
A puppy, a puppy show, puppy rescue, or something.
Or
like
Paw Patrol
that.
Or whatever.
Yeah. Yes, Paw Patrol.
Yeah,
and he likes.
I hang out with a lot of 4-year-olds.
I know, yeah,
he likes Peppa Pig as well.
Okay,
and just some normal YouTube vlogs that kids will do and post up. He will sit on that and watch that all day. Like sometimes I hear him saying some things like, Mom, I'm embarrassed. I'm like, what do you know about embarrassed? How do you know this?
Right.
You get me?
So all you should know is that you are blessed.
Yes. To be honest, yes. Yeah. He acts older than he is.
Really?
Yep. He acts like a 6-year-old.
Well, how did being a parent change you?
Patience-wise, I didn't have any patience with anybody, not even myself.
But, sorry to your manager.
But being a mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. That really taught me a lot of patience and forgiveness.
Yeah.
I never used to forgive anybody.
If you sorry to your me, manager.
Again. I know, yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you wrong me, that's it, straight. But with my son, I've learned to put other people before myself and put aside ego and pride.
Mm-hmm.
So
you used to have a chip on your shoulder.
Yeah.
Do you think that sort of showed up in your music and your drive as well?
Well, I would say it does. I would say everything that I've been through and all my experiences have made me entirely who I am today. Even if it's just a teeny, teeny bit. You get me? Mm-hmm. So everything is just combined right now. Yeah. And I know I have a lot further to go. So I'm still prepared for growth.
Is there a big, big, big concert that you knew you had to like get on that stage back at home?
Reggae Sunfest.
And what was the first time performing there like?
The first time I went on the small stage, if I show you that video, you was going to be like, nah, who is this? Is she an artist?
Or is she the help?
I was so thin and I was shaking while I was singing too. It was crazy. And I was talking and laughing, but I sound like a dork. On the stage, I was like, no. But right now, it's just crazy. That was my first performance. And then the following year, mm-hmm. I went on the big stage.
So you did get invited back.
Yep.
And
next year.
Yeah. Well, what happened in that year?
It was really fast. I really didn't get a lot of time. And being the fact that it was my first performance on the big stage, I was really nervous still. So I didn't interact either. I just sang my songs and got off. But right now, if you put me up there, I'm like,
yeah.
Fit up, I'm like, yes.
Well, yeah. So how did it change for you? Like, what do you know to do now that you didn't know how to do when you were a shaking leaf
just
on a stage?
Just be myself. That's all it took. I know which performance really pulled me out of my comfort zone at that time. And it was in Birmingham. I did a show in Birmingham and there were
Alabama
or England?
England.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
A lot of females there. And I would be my normal shy self backstage. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go on. But when I stepped out there, the support was amazing. Like, they didn't even care what I had on. I was just there. And I was like, I felt so good. So till I just start giving like jokes and all that. And I noticed that people reacted to it and they loved it. And so when I talked to them on the stage, it really boosted them up, influenced them. Actually, to sing along with my songs, get in the vibe, you know?
Yeah.
It's just being myself is all it took.
When did the major labels start coming and knocking on your door?
They've been coming from 2016 stills, from the first year that I broke out.
Well, so how did you have the confidence to say no to all these situations that came?
We watched first. So it's like a label will say, we want to do this and this and that. We get some work done and we'll be still waiting like... Hmm. What did you say you were going to do again? Because you're still waiting.
Yeah.
So that was really what kind of let me know. Nah. And even up until now, then I met with Roshan. And I know Roshan is a very hardworking person because I've known him musically for like way back then. I used to listen to all his things that he would produce, his songs and all of that. So I know what he had done for my country at the time. So like, this might not be bad still because... I know him.
Yeah.
You get me? So when I started working with him now and he kind of put me on and stuff, putting good words and stuff, I'm like, okay, I think I can trust his word because we've been had a good relationship musically, mm-hmm. you know, yes, over the years.
Yeah. Because there is always that sort of idea where it's like, I've gone so long on my own and like, yeah. I really want this to happen now.
And like, I don't need somebody else.
I don't. Sometimes I hear artists speak like that and I'm like, nah. Because even when I came out, they titled me as the fastest rising artist in the Caribbean.
Wow.
And so I knew that it wasn't just me that did that. It was my team.
Yeah.
Rummish Entertainment. Of all the girls, of all the drivers, everybody put me on. And so even right now, I'm happy to be with the label that I'm with right now because they've been really, really investing their time, their efforts, everything. That's great for my career, 100%. That shows me that, listen, they really want to do this, not for what they can get in the future or anything like that, but just the passion to make things great. So I know a team is very, very important, especially if I'm going internationally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the nice thing about Interscope is that it's based in LA, so it's actually nice weather. And yeah. So you
can... It is. I would say that, yeah. To be honest. Now, I don't know if it's because I'm from Jamaica or anything, but last time I went to LA, I was cold.
Oh, really?
I was cold. I was cold. Yeah.
Do you feel like your upcoming album is a valid representation of everything you've everything. Gone through to this point?
That's the thing. I want to name right now, but I can't think of something that's interracial. Because that's what the album is to me.
Mm-hmm.
Mixes dancehall, mixes some, you can get some country vibe from it, some Afro beats, some EDM, music, pop, everything. It's just crazy.
Is there any Michael Jackson, Rihanna, Chris Brown?
I'm not saying anything.
Ariana Grande. Yeah.
You're just going to have to wait until the album is out.
Who are some artists that you've met like along the way now that you've really been like, I can't believe that I've really met them in real life?
Jay-Z.
Yeah?
Yeah, I met Jay-Z.
Where did you meet him?
We were in England. I think he just finished a show. I think he kept a show there at the time. And we went to this Mediterranean restaurant and we saw a group of people. And the person who I was with, he was from a label as well. She's like, wait, isn't that Jay-Z? I'm like, Jay, don't play with me. And then we went over there and he introduced us. I was like, crazy.
So what do you say in that situation?
I was like, hey, I'm Shensia. You won't know me, but I'm Shensia. But I guarantee that he's going to probably remember me.
Yeah.
Later on. Yeah. In about a couple months' time. Yeah. That's willing.
That's super dope.
You didn't sign with that label?
No, I didn't.
So even though that person introduced you to Jay-Z, you were just like, nah, fuck it.
No, because he's really a great guy, to be honest. So we could chill and all that. But as I said, my work comes first.
Yeah.
Before everything. So if you're stalling my work, I can't really say yes to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get me? So yeah. It was really that was just it.
Mm-hmm. How was Jay's handshake, by the way?
Strong. Strong. Yeah. Too bad I didn't get a picture, though. But yeah.
But isn't it cooler not to take the picture?
Yeah, because then it's like you don't want to ask for the picture.
I know, that's the thing. It's cooler to have the picture, but it's not cool to ask for
it. Oh, gotcha. And it's cooler to not even put it out if you have the picture.
That yes. too, because you know.
Until you do it for Throwback Thursday like a year from now.
Yeah.
And probably. Be like, look how humble I was.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Gotcha. Exactly. Yeah. But unfortunately, it didn't went that way.
And how was the food at the restaurant?
It was great because they have the best wings, to be honest. Every time I go to England, I have to go there. I don't even remember the name.
Was it Nando's?
No, it wasn't Nando's. I can't remember the name.
How picky are you with food when you go on the road?
Yeah.
Well, at the moment, I'm cutting off fast food because I'm so tired of the oily stuff and the bread and all that. So it doesn't really entice me anymore to eat like a burger or something.
Right.
So I'm really picky when it comes to that. But at the moment, I just can't wait to have my own team on the road so I can cook.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because I love to cook. So to have my own seasoning and all that prepared up, that's just what I'm waiting for right now. But I don't eat much right about now because, as I said, it's a lot of fast food.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just like...
And you're complaining about losing weight. You're like, my watch is falling off.
I don't know what's happening.
Or were you just trying to like draw attention to your watch? But like,
it's hard to miss your watch, by the way.
Look at my diamond.
No,
yeah.
Free, look at it.
It's pretty...
I'm looking at your watch.
Oh, it's again, hard to take your eyes off your watch. Yeah. Yeah. Was that the watch that just dropped? Or?
No. Okay. You're funny.
Blessed is the single.
Yep.
You have a full album.
I have a full album.
And you don't have the name for it yet.
No, I don't.
But you've shot some music videos?
I shot one.
Okay. For Blessed?
Blessed.
Okay. And what do you want to happen in the next year?
Oh, my God. To be honest, I've only really dreamt about being this international superstar. I haven't dreamt about what I'm going to do when I become an international superstar. So I can't even answer that question right now. I just hope it's filled with happiness because even right now on my journey, I noticed that while I was broke growing up and everything, there's nothing that can beat happiness. All the money that we're making, all the new people that we're meeting... Happiness is just the number one priority for me right now.
But weren't you happy when you met Jay-Z?
I was happy. I wasn't happy that I did not get to work with him, but I was happy. But for next year, I just really hope everything goes great. I'll just elevate my team as well.
What does Jamaica mean to you?
It's just family to me. The connection that I have in Jamaica, I can't find it anywhere else. I haven't found it anywhere else. The fact that we can go on the streets and watch people playing cricket in the middle of the road, playing football in the middle of the road, all of that vibe. Sometimes when we're in New York or Miami or anywhere, you can't really see people walking on the highway. You get me? In Jamaica, we walk, we ride, we don't care. We're out there.
Okay, so we, meaning you and everybody.
People.
Okay, so today, Shensia mm-hmm. has all this, you know, diamonds dripping off of you.
I don't wear my diamonds in Jamaica.
Right, okay.
I'm afraid.
you dress well, you're yeah. out here, you're not shy anymore. Are you still that tomboy who likes to run around and...
Listen.
I'm listening.
If we become best friends after yes. today.
Yes. When we see you in Jamaica, we can just walk down the street in St. Elizabeth.
Yep.
And catch you.
Yep.
Underneath some tree.
Because that's what I think a lot of my shengings really gravitate to. The fact that I'm a down to earth person. Because sometimes I will go in my comments and they're like, how many artists you will see do this? Or artists don't normally do this kind of stuff or all of that. So I think it's just my personality that really elevates me to where I am right now. Under my music as well.
Do you ever get tired of social media?
No, I don't get tired. I have too much fun with it.
Yeah.
Especially when they're saying bad stuff too. I'm like, what? How did you get this?
Well, how do you react?
I just laugh. I can't get mad over things on social media. It's not like I can see the person, you know.
Yeah, cut their head off. Yeah. Right. Well, I mean, like, no, like, I saw like...
Have you ever been to jail?
Have I ever been to jail? No.
Oh.
It's because I had to think about it.
Yeah, no, yeah.
I've been told I look like a serial killer, that. But when you were working for Ramesh, mm-hmm. your manager, what was the... And I know he's in the building.
Yeah.
What was the worst thing that you did at your job?
Worst thing. I don't know. Probably eat too much. That's the only thing, to be honest. Because he know me for a foodie. Like, even when I'm at his events, I have to go eat. I need food to get this pumpy, you get me? But he's always told me that I was one of the best workers. So, and
that's why he took you under his wing.
That's why I trusted him
yeah.
to take up my career, you get me? Because how I see him move with everybody around him, people who... He's done a lot of good for people and for himself. And he treated everybody like... We're one big family. Yeah. Didn't treat anybody less. So that really made me look into it and say, yo. Because a lot of people came to me before, said they wanted to be my manager. I'm like, nah. Even some big artists and stuff. But once the vibe and the connection is not there, you just got to let it go.
Did that hurt your relationships with the people who did reach out?
No, because even right now, we got collaborations.
Oh, wow.
So I try to not be like a person who is biased or one-sided. I try to deal with unity. I'm just that type of person. I don't like the beef and all that. I didn't come in the industry to beef with people, just to make good music.
Right. But now that you're here, mm-hmm. what if someone does come after you?
Then that's their business. As long as they don't touch me, I'm good.
But also, you wanted to be a police officer. So, yeah. like, you know how to protect yourself.
Yeah. You don't see me doing some kung fu stuff on the ground. Even right now, I want to go do some boxing on the side, to be honest, if I ever do find a time.
Yeah?
I like it.
That's dope.
I always liked it, to be honest, though.
Boxing. Yeah. Does that fuck up your nails?
Sometimes, yes. But, you know, I'm tough, so even when it's bleeding out, I'm like...
Where do you go from here?
Well, right, touring-wise or yeah. career-wise?
Yeah, I think we covered where you want to go career-wise, but where do you go, like, after this touring-wise?
I'm going to Canada.
Canada? Yeah, have you been before?
Yeah, plenty of times. I have Canada for a couple of days, then I go back to Jamaica for a night... And then
for one night?
One night. And guess what? I'm landing in the night too. So I don't even see the sense.
Yeah.
So, and then I have Guyana and the Bahamas.
That's dope.
These are all questions for your manager, by the way.
Yeah. I really got mine.
Why am I going
honest.
Like over here and over there?
For a night.
Yeah. For a fucking night. Last time I think you were here, you did an interview with Genius.
Oh my God. I don't even want to talk about that.
And
were
you
y'all laughing?
Was I laughing?
Yeah,
that was great.
I was so high. It was crazy. I was so high. I ate some edibles and I was high for 3 days.
Was that the best interview ever then?
I can't even remember. I just know that when I watched it back, I was like, no, why did I say that? They took a picture and I don't even remember what I looked like. I don't even want to see it.
Whoa.
It's crazy.
Do you take edibles when you go in to write in the...
studio.
In the studio.
No, I take my work seriously. I don't take edibles at all if I know that I have something important to do. Mm. So when I did Genius interview, I just didn't know I would be high that long.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just,
yeah.
As I said, it was 3 days. I'm like, am I getting crazy or something? Because it was not cooling down.
Yeah.
But work-wise, I don't do it for studio. I don't do it when I'm around my son.
Do you do it when you go like to the dentist?
Nah.
Or what?
Orthodontist.
Orthodontist.
Nah,
yeah.
Nah.
Eric never had braces.
Regular. It's just one time. And I just started back recently this year because the first time was, as I said, I was doing the Genius interview when we came to New York. And I took it because I didn't smoke or anything before that ever since I had my son.
Yeah.
So I was clean.
Yeah.
From weed, from alcohol, everything. And then I took
and then
it. I was just crazy.
3 days later. A disaster.
And now I ended up here, so I take it for relaxation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they had you explain your lyrics, which are pussy tight, pussy clean, pussy fresh.
Mm-hmm.
And were you just like, why am I explaining, like, how do I explain this?
Right.
Yes, because as I said, I did it in patois, as you would call it, in Jamaica. So I had to be thinking real hard how to say it so you guys could understand it. But it was really a challenge. Quite different, though. I've never done an interview like that before.
On edibles?
Yeah. And then Drake
you
commented.
You see, I had to have the glasses on. I was like, hide my eyes. Yeah, Drake commented. That was the first time he ever commented on something like that. And I found out that he was actually following me.
Yeah.
Like, this is crazy. Papi, is that you? They're falling back real fast. So from that, we have one or two conversations.
That's dope. Yeah. So you're not going to see him in Canada?
Wow.
I can't even say. You say this interview is going to be aired after
this? Yeah.
Okay. Still can't say.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on everything to this point. Congratulations on everything that's about to come your way. Congratulations on your trip to Canada coming up. Your trip back home. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you guys for having me.
Thanks everyone for listening to this new episode of A Waste Time with It's The Real Jeff. If you want to find out more about us, I'm Eric with the curly hair. You're Jeff
with the freestyle.
With the freestyle. Together, we are It's The Real. If people want to find out more about this podcast, it's called A Waste of Time with It's The Real. If people want to find out more about what's going on with us, Jeff, where can they go?
You can always go to itsthereal.com and sign up for our newsletter today and also buy some merch. We've got mugs. We've got t-shirts, we've got rhyme books, all of them are perfect for the summer sun. Go to the beach in your t-shirt, and you're holding your rhyme book, and you're drinking from your mug.
That's a perfect summer outing.
Yeah, wow. I just created your whole vibe.
There you go.
You can also stream all of our old episodes, all of our new ones, on any streaming platform. Wherever you listen to podcasts, including this one, that's where our podcast is. Search for It's The Real. All of our episodes are there. You can also follow us on Instagram at It's The Real, Facebook at It's The Real, Instagram at It's The Real. We are also on Reddit. There is a burgeoning community of people at reddit.com/r/It's The Real.
All right. Jeff, this is the part of the podcast where we like to shout out our friends out there who love to support your boys, It's The Real, who tell their friends, family, fans, fanatics, strangers, coworkers, whoever, to tune in to this little podcast of ours. Jeff, who do you want to shout out?
I want to shout out DJ Mensa, who guessed that Chensia was going to be on the podcast today.
Shout out to DJ Mensa.
It's almost like he has Mencia.
What is that?
That's when DJ Mensa and Chensia on the podcast.
Yeah.
Carlos, Mencia, DJ Mensa. I have a bulletin board.
This is like a freestyling game.
Yeah, I have a bunch of strings and pictures. DJ Mensa, Chensia, put them together. DJ Mencia.
Jeff, I want to shout out our friends, Remo and June, the two biggest influencers in the shoe game.
Woo.
The two biggest hype beasts you're ever going to find.
Woo.
The two biggest bosses that you've seen thus far.
Well, I do want to be honest with our listeners.
Yes.
There's one person who's even bigger than both of them combined. I'm talking about Jonathan Davila. Jonathan Davila from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
As always, Jeff, now for real.
Sure.
We'll see you guys next week.
The sun's out.